Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Friday, December 26th in the year of our Lord, 2025. I am Tara Beth Leach, and this is your wake-up call. I am truly honored to be joining you over the next 6 days as your wake-up call host. I love J.D. Walt. I love the wake-up call. I love everything that Seedbed is doing. So it really, truly is just an absolute honor. So thanks for joining. And hey, if you're still living off Christmas leftovers and cookies, you're among friends. It's time to wake up, dear ones. It is time to wake up. I don't know where this call finds you. Maybe you're driving to a family's house. Maybe you're still in bed under the warmth of the covers. Maybe you are getting going for the morning, but wherever you are, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I know that many of you don't know me. I am a friend of Seedbed. I've had the opportunity to join Seedbed for many, many different projects. And upcoming, we have a video course coming up with a book that I've written called The Great Morning Revolution. We'll tell you more about that, but you can sign up for that 3-week course in January. And that is a book about rising early. And so I know that you understand what that is about, or at least giving God your first waking hours, your first fruits. And that's what we're doing. That's why we do this wake up call, because we believe in the morning, our minds are fresh. Lamentation says his mercies are new in the morning. His mercies are new in the morning. And so today we are going to open ourselves up to God's mercies. We are going to give God our first fruits. I'm calling you from Downers Grove, joining you from Downers Grove, Illinois. That's a suburb just west of Chicago. It's cold and dreary, but wherever this call finds you today, may the joy of the Lord shine on you. As the Apostle Paul says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. Christ's light will shine on you. So we are going to pray that great prayer of consecration and give ourselves to God today, because we believe together. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Yes, we do, Lord. We do. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. I know that this call is all about awakening, and I want to do a special series over the next 6 days with you and walking through the Gospels, and we're going to take a look at different people that had their own awakenings, because we are just days away from 2026, and my prayer, my word for 2026 is awakening. I want that for our nation. I want that for our churches. I want that for our cities. I want that for even my own life. I want to more and more be awakened to the Spirit of the living God. I feel as though that I can never be revived enough. I can never be awakened enough. And so that is my great prayer. And so we are going to look at several different individuals who were awakened and what that process of awakening is like. And so we're going to take a look first at Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And I'm going to be reading through the NIV. So if you have your Bibles, you want to open up, or you can also follow along in the guide that we have online for you. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd. They were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight, followed Jesus along the road. I love this story. There is so much to this. Blind Bartimaeus was awakened. And when we arrive to this text, we know that he is blind. And it's also important to note that Jericho is not a random location. But instead, in Mark's gospel, Jericho is the final stop before Jesus goes to Jerusalem. So we know that the cross is looming. The cross is looming. And within the gospel of Mark, it seems as though Mark is in a hurry to get to the cross. When you study through Mark chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, it's called the way of the cross teachings because Jesus is constantly talking about suffering and dying and carrying his cross to the point that the disciples are flummoxed. They're confused. They don't understand it. And so we know that Mark chapter 10, the cross is very much looming. But the good news is this reminds us that this is not an end of the road moment, but the Spirit of God right in the way of the cross teachings places this wake up story right here, right before the Passion. So Bartimaeus is sitting on the highway, the edge. He's on the margins. It's the place where life keeps on moving, as though he felt invisible, as though he felt left behind, as the world is just going on about their way and about their day without a care in the world that this blind man is sitting on the side of the road. I wonder if you ever feel that way. Invisible and the world just keeps on moving. I don't know. I remember when I lost my dad at such a young age. He was way too young. And I remember going into a McDonald's and watching someone argue with someone in line. And I remember thinking, my dad just died. Does anybody care? Does anyone notice? Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel on the margins. Maybe you feel invisible, stuck in grief, stuck in anxiety, stuck in habit, stuck in a season that you didn't choose, and you feel like the world is just passing you by. But Bartimaeus, as a world is passing him by, he hears that Jesus is coming, and something in him awakens. Something jolts him. And as Jesus is passing by, he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this title matters. Son of David is not a small talk, but instead that's a messianic confession. When God established David on the throne, God made an eternal covenant that there would always be a king that would rule on the throne of David and the lineage of David. And in that promise, God promised that God would rule through a human in the world. And now Bartimaeus understands that Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, is ruling on the throne. And so this title matters. It is an incredible messianic confession. He understands exactly who is in his midst. But the crowd says, "Shh, be quiet." They wanted him to stay in the margins. They wanted him to stay invisible. But he continued to cry out a great deal. He was desiring. He had a holy persistence. There's this world of resistance that he is surrounded by that is trying to hush him. Shame, I think about. Shame would have told him, "Don't bother Jesus with this." Or fear would have said, "What if nothing changes?" Or religion would have said, "Just keep polite." Or cynicism would have said, "Hey, man, people don't really change anyway." I think those are the words that we often hear as well. Those are the lies that we tell ourselves. When we are praying a persistent prayer, we think, "Why would I bother God with this? There's so many other big problems in this world." Or, "What's the point of praying? What if nothing changes?" Or, "People don't really change anyway, so why would I pray for liberation? Because am I going to really ever change?" Bartimaeus did not pray politely. He prayed honestly. He prayed with a holy indignation and passion as he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this cry of passion stopped Jesus in his tracks. Jesus stopped for three cries of desire. And then there is this shift. When Jesus stops, the crowd hushes, and Jesus calls him to come to him. As the crowd also says, be comfort, experience comfort. Jesus is calling you. And so he gets up, and I love what ends up happening is he takes off his cloak. We don't know exactly why he took off his garment, but I do believe that there is a theological symbolism here. Number one, he was removing anything that would hinder him from coming to Jesus. Number two, I think he was also making a declaration that he's not going back, that he's not going back to his old way of living, but instead he is stepping into the new. He's not going back to his old life, but he's coming to Jesus into this new life. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew. Jesus knew he was blind, but he wanted to hear that desire. He wanted to hear that passion. Jesus was awakening him to passion and desires. As this desire and passion engages, it speaks, it reaches, and Bartimaeus answers plainly, Lord, that I might receive sight. And then I think there's just something liberating about naming what you want before God. It's saying those things out loud. It's naming the things that feel vulnerable. It's naming the things that feel risky. It's naming the things that feel tender. I think sometimes we pray too vague because we don't want to be disappointed. Sometimes we just pray too safe of prayers, general prayers, protective prayers. But Bartimaeus, he swung for the fence. He prayed that big, audacious prayer. I am blind, but now I want to see. He is praying for awakening. And Jesus then says, your faith has healed you. He is made whole. In other words, this is so much bigger than him being able to see with his eyes. But he has a spiritual awakening. He has experienced salvation. He is restored. And then we see the final clear sign of awakening. He got up and he followed Jesus. He left the old behind and he turned and followed Jesus. He doesn't return back to the margins. He doesn't return to the old way of living. He doesn't try to rebuild his identity, but instead his identity is now in following Jesus as a disciple. So here's a wake-up call question for you. What do you want? It's amazing to me that Jesus responds to desperation. Three prayers of desperation. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus responds. And he is a God that gives and gives and gives and gives. What do you want? What are those things in your life that you want to name? But maybe you've been too afraid. Is it awakening? Is it renewal? Is it that 2026 would be different? Is it that 2026 would be marked by liberation and freedom and wholeness and righteous living in your life? Is it that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in your life anew and afresh? Is it that God would lift you from the slumber that you have been living in? What is it that you want? And what do you want Jesus to do for you? Would you name that? Also, what cloak do you need to throw aside to follow Jesus? What is an old pattern, an old coping pattern, or a bitterness, or a false identity, or fear? What are the ways of living that God is calling you to abandon in 2026? Would you be willing to name that before God? Because I believe that awakening begins when we desire to tell the truth. We have to name it to tame it. God doesn't want our fancy words, but God wants our heart. Jesus doesn't need your fancy words or your performance. Jesus wants your heart. Awakening begins when we give God our heart and when we desire to tell the truth. And so let's pray that closing prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. God, I pray that you would awaken a holy desire and passion in us. God, that we would yearn for you and burn for you. That 2026 would be marked by awakening and revival. God, we want to see. We remove the cloaks that hinder us from living the full life that you have given us, the life abundant. God, we abandon old patterns. God, we abandon addictions. God, we abandon bitterness. God, we abandon gossip. God, we abandon discord. God, we abandon rage talking online. God, we abandon unwholesome talk. And we run to you. We run to you. Awaken us, revive us, enliven us. Give us the courage to cry out to you vulnerably and honestly. And God, we ask you plainly, we want to see and we want to follow you in the way. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Dear ones, we are going to close with the hymn, Amazing Grace. And I wish I could be me that is worship leading for you, but you don't want that. You don't want me singing for you. Not even my husband likes to hear me sing. Not even my children like to hear me sing. Not even my best friend likes to hear me sing. I don't even think my mama likes to hear me sing. We'll just keep that between me and in the car or in the shower. But I have some good news for you. Dan Wilt, one of our favorite worship leaders, is going to be here. He's going to lead us in worship, and we are going to sing Amazing Grace. And so, Sower Nation, the miracle today is not just that Bartimaeus receives his sight. It's that Jesus stops, calls him, and restores him to the road as a follower. And so let's get our seeds. Let's get our seeds. Here's a way to sow today. Go and sow love. Who in your world is overlooked? On the margins? Maybe go to them and ask them, what do you need? And mean it. And let's go and sow today for the awakening. Beloved, it's been a joy and privilege to be with you today. For the awakening, I'm Tara Beth Leach, and I'll see you on the field.
Thanks so much, Tara Beth, for that moving entry today. We're going to worship together with the hymn, Amazing Grace. It's hymn number 572 in our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Let's worship together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that had saved a wretch like me. 'Cause I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 light shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
Amen. We'll see you on the field.